Lady Fatima Tul Ma'suma is called Karime Ahl Bayt.
Yes, again, of course.
You know, during the history of Islam, there have been so many examples of people, especially the infallible imams, who were not, in today's definition, that much rich. But they were rich in soul. I mean, they could bestow the people from parts of their enlightening soul inside. And that's why so many people love them, welcome them, embrace Islam, converted to the religion of Islam because of the respect and the honor from the side of Prophet Muhammad and the infallible Imam.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
So, Sheikh Nur Muhammad, what to do in order to strengthen the sense of Kerama, Ikram, and Takrim in the holy month of Ramadan? Do we have any guidelines from Islam?
I think in this holy month, first of all, we should try to be kind of generous.
Uh-huh.
Try to experience generosity.
Very good.
Sometimes to be giving for the, you know, other people, especially the needy one in your neighboring.
Yes.
For example, be generous about your time, about the monetary aspect, and so on and so forth.
Yes.
These are, I think, we need to test, to give it a test. Sometimes try to be generous, not to be stingy.
Yes.
To all human beings. As I said, regardless of their religion, regardless of faith or any kind of denomination or tendency that they have, try to be respectful for all human beings.
Yes.
According to Imam Ali, we have the very beautiful narration. He said that all people, whether they are my brothers or sisters in faith, all same human beings like me. Imma akhun laka fi din aw nadhirun laka fil khalq.
This was also, I think, written to Malik al-Ashtar in his letter. That when you go and you are selected as a governor, ruler of Egypt, consider this point, that people are either your brother in faith or brother or sister in nature.
That's sometimes it's very difficult. Let me go to the detail of that. For example, the racism that sometimes you see that in the United States or in, unfortunately, in some other countries.
Yes.
You see that, for example, white supremacy. Somebody comes and, kill the black people only that because they are black people.
The colored
people. Or, for example, they are Asian.
Yes.
Or for any other, foolish reason, they kill the human being. Or, for example, the massacre in Gaza. We see the genocide of the human being there only because they are Muslim or Palestinians.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
How can you justify this genocide in Gaza? Or how can you understand or justify the white supremacy in the United States?
Yes, these are all the examples of the violence of the concept of ikram and respecting the people. And maybe, Sheikh Mahdavi, we can say, according to the religion of Islam, the position of human being is very much different from that of the secular humanistic movements and the schools of thought in the Western philosophy. Because in this world and in the world of Islam, humans are going to be perfected. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a purpose of the creation of his vicegerent Khalifatullah on earth. This is very much different from the look that the Westerners has at the human beings. That's why I think Prophet Muhammad and the infallible Imams respected the brothers and sisters in faith around very much, isn't it?
Yeah, of course, because as you said, in the secular worldview upon human being, everything goes around deal.
Yes.
And what type of deal? Whatsoever I do for you, whatsoever favor that I do for you, either it is because of the thing that I have received beforehand or I'm waiting for the response afterwards, immediately. So I'm waiting for a proper time to get the response from your side.
Yes.
So this is the secular worldview upon the event. When I come and give something as a gift to you,
yes.
The secular worldview tells me, okay, this gift will be paid back.
Yes.
Maybe double, maybe triple.
Yes.
But in the Elahi worldview or Tawhidi worldview upon the human being, it doesn't go that way. That is also deal, but you are not dealing with the person you are generous upon. Yes. You are dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm-hmm. You give away something, but you are not looking for any response from that person.
Yes.
You are only waiting for the reward coming from Allah's side.
And sometimes the great people even do not wait for reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do it because they feel this responsibility towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his creature, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely we have such a thing. And we have it in the verse of Quran. Allah says, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمَكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. It comes in praising the character of Ahlul Bayt when they did that actually generosity after 3 days fasting and giving away their iftar. By the end of the
Ali and
yes, Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam and Lady Fatima salamullah alayha and Hassanain.
Yes.
So إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمَكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. Even they were not waiting for any response from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only for the sake of Allah.
That's right.
لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. Okay?
That's so, all right. Okay. Yeah. And Imam Hassan al-Mushtaba alayhi salam was raised in such a house, you know. He was an eyewitness to the ikram and takrim of his father and mother, to the captive, to the guy who was on the way, the prisoner, you know, the needy ones. And so many examples, so many good examples of the benevolence, the generosity of the Ahlul Bayt and Prophet Muhammad can be seen in the Holy Quran, in the history. For example, Imam Ali alayhi salam was bowing down in prayer. In fact, he gave away his ring in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was another example. Also, the ayah of the Quran exists over there. Thank you very much, Sheikh Mahtavi and Sheikh Nur Muhammad, for a nice elaboration regarding the concept of Ikram. The holy month of Ramadan is the best chance, as you said, Sheikh Nur Muhammad, to strengthen our sense of karama, generosity, helping the needy. Especially this year, the people of Gaza and the children in Gaza and Palestine needs the generosity and the generous and the giving, helping hand of the people all around the world very much. Thank you very much. And thank you very much, Sheikh Mahtavi, for a nice elaboration on this topic. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information, visit our website on parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Do not forget us in your supplications and worshipings in the holy month of Ramadan. God bless you all. Fi amanillah.
I know that you could easily take away everything you've given me, and I try to remember not to take anything for granted.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. Please don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.ir. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you.
The whole world is silent towards oppression, even one voice becomes powerful. IRIB English Radio, the voice of the voiceless. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity,
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Hussein Latifi and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program, we talk about the concept of humanity in the Holy Quran and the verses related to human being, different dimensions and aspects of the being that we call human being, and whatever that is related to this being. So we started this discussion talking about different main dualism that is there, mind and body, that there is a spiritual aspect, there is a physical aspect, and talking about the spiritual aspect, we talked about different faculties, different dimensions, we talked about the heart and the reason. And the previous episode, the last episode, we were talking about the obstacles on the way of reason. We said that the role of reason is very important in the human being, according to the verses of the Holy Quran. There are over 50 verses of the Holy Quran praising intellect. But at the end of the day, unfortunately, many people do not or cannot use this intellect properly for different reasons. Sometimes because this intellect has been taken captive, taken as a prisoner by hawa, carnal desires, and sometimes because of other reasons. The last reason we were talking about was following the conjecture. So we explain what it means, following the conjecture. When something is solid, when there is sultan, when there is evidence for something, and then people leave that evidence based on some other just possibilities. So what is this sultan in terms of religion, in terms of alam al-ghayb, the unseen world? We said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلِلَّهِ الْحُجَّةُ فَلِلَّهِ الْحُجَّةُ الْبَالِغَةُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established His evidence throughout human history. And this evidence doesn't mean Allah compels people to have faith. No. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only leaves hujjah, evidence, ayah, sign, so that people, those who are seeking truth, can find it. But does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compel people to have faith? No, not at all, because it's not a test if that takes place. If Allah wanted, He could compel everyone to have faith, but it doesn't work this way. So the evidence is there, but also the gates for denying the evidence is open for people. So denial is not impossible. People can deny it for different reasons. Like even the most manifest miracles people would have seen, and they said, "Innama sukkarat absarana." This, you know what? This is black magic. They have somehow manipulated our eyes. For example, these prophets, they are good magicians, for example. So this happened. Allah says, we bring them the greatest miracles. They say it's magic. Well, there's a difference between magic and a miracle. Magic, miracle, nothing could supersede miracle. Nothing could come over miracle. And but magic, no. Magic is something that many people can, after practice, after, I don't know, having some spiritual powers, they do. But so Allah says, it doesn't work this way, that we compel people or we bring a sign, because the greatest sign, if you bring, at the end of the day, it cuts down to the willingness of a person to accept the truth or to reject the truth. If you want to reject the truth, the way is all open, and there are different excuses that a person can bring in order to reject the truth. So one of the ways, one of the things that they bring in to reject the truth is conjecture, just possibilities without any solid evidence. We're going to have a break and we come back to continue our discussion.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hossein Latifi, and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In the first segment, we were saying that following the conjecture, at-taba'ud-dhan, according to the verses of the Holy Quran, is one way that stops reason from functioning well. People think this is a function of the reason, and actually a praise function of the reason, critical thinking, while in fact, according to verses of the Holy Quran, this is a threat to correct thinking. This is not critical thinking. Critical thinking is a good thing, but we should know what are the instances and examples of critical thinking. Sometimes bringing in excuses without having any arguments for them is not correct critical thinking. It is actually some way of rejecting the truth when people encounter the truth. Now, verses related to at-taba'ud, then some of them those pagans, those who attribute partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they say, if Allah wanted, we would not be pagans. Clearly, they misunderstood between Tawheed al-Af'ali, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala empowers everything and every being for whatever they do, and free will of human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has dominance over everything, but doesn't mean he compels people for their decision. Because of their confusion, or maybe as an excuse, they say what? They say it is because Allah wanted it, because we are in the kingdom of Allah and we are pagans. So, no, you're in the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but doesn't mean he compels you to decide between good and bad. It is up to you. And this is the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you to be free. مَا أَشْرَكْنَا وَلَا أَبَعُنَا. They say, even our fathers, forefathers who were pagans, it is because of the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا حَرَّمْنَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ كَذَلِكَ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Allah says, this is the exact way people before them, كَذَّبَ, they lied. They knew that this is not correct. They knew from the bottom of their heart that they are free when they want to choose this and that. I know it that I'm free. I can choose to be pagan. I can choose to be Muslim. But against this inner intuition, they say, no, this is the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَذَلِكَ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ حَتَّى ذَاقُوا بَأْسَنَا. Until the time of their death, they insisted on this. قُلْ هَلْ عِنْدَكُمْ مِنْ عِلْمٍ فَتُخْرِجُوهُ لَنَا. Do you have any knowledge? Do you have evidence for this? That Allah is compelling you? Do you have any, I don't know, any apostle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any way that you have access to the decision of Allah? Have you been there on the throne of Allah when he made the decision to compel you to paganism? هَلْ عِنْدَكُمْ مِنْ عِلْمٍ فَتُخْرِجُوهُ لَنَا. So that you can bring in your evidence. إِنْ تَتَّبَعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ. They only follow the conjecture. They say, maybe there's a possibility that we have been fooled to believe in this, and we have been fooled to believe that we have free will. These are just conjecture. There's no evidence for that. They're against what you see in yourself. This is just a conjecture. There is no evidence for that. When antum illa takhrusun. Takhrusun means when a person starts talking without knowing what he's talking about. Just possibilities. No, this is a matrix. There's a possibility of this. There's a possibility. What's the evidence for that? You don't have an evidence for that. And there are also other verses for ittiba'ud-dhan that stops reason, that actually paralyzes reason. If a person starts following these conjectures, all the possibilities and probabilities, then there is no way for your reason to function well. A person ends up being a sophist, doesn't believe in anything. So, inshallah, we continue our discussion in the next episode. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Nabi. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala ali Nabi. Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Nabi. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala ali Nabi.
30 ayahs, 30 days. A monotheist person not only reflects on the Noble Quran, but also tries to explain the ayahs of this heavenly scripture to others and make them familiar with its teachings. Explicating of the Quranic teachings, first of all, was the duty of the Prophet and his infallible successors, peace be upon them. Every faithful person too, according to the extent that they had learnt from the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, embarked on this heavy duty. So, the ulama or Muslim scholars took over this duty after the occultation of the 12th infallible successor of the Prophet, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, and have seriously continued this job until present day. Today, this duty has become even more important due to the broad assault of the enemies against the beliefs of Islam and humanity. The topic of the 12th episode of the Ramadan special will be mistrust in the enemies. The ayahs that have been chosen in this regard are ayahs 112 and 113 of Surah Hud of the Holy Quran. So please stay tuned. Anyone who, with the intention of obeying Allah's order, fasts in daytime and relinquishes pleasures, even the halal, permitted ones, is indeed pursuing a lofty goal. He has decided to set himself free from the yokes of various desires, to let the spirit fly in the horizon of divine values. Freedom from the routine habits and yoke of despotic rules. This kind of freedom is the goal of all prophets, as the Holy Quran says. And certainly we raised an apostle in every nation, telling them, worship Allah and keep away from the rebels. This ayah clearly and decisively rules out worship of anyone other than Allah. In Islam, no one has the right to oppress and bully others. No one can subjugate others on the basis of his desires. Most human problems and miseries originate in miscomprehension of the reality of freedom or lack of resistance in its way. Therefore, those who fail to reach this comprehension and resistance accept the arrogance of others and flatter them. This increases their arrogance and rebellion, whereas Islam calls on the whole mankind to be humble only to Allah and those appointed by Him. The greatest contemporary exegete of the Holy Quran, Allama Muhammad Hussein Tabatabai, said that God is sensitive towards two sins in the Quran. One is usury and the other one is letting the enemies of Allah to rule over the Islamic community. The Almighty in Surah Hud of the Holy Quran, after the accounts of the nations of Prophets Noah, Hud, Saleh, Shu'aib, and Moses, says in Ayah 112 of Surah Hud, so be steadfast, just as you have been commanded, you and whoever has turned to Allah with you, and do not overstep the bounds. Indeed, He sees best what you do. But what does Allah mean by steadfastness? The next ayah gives the answer. And do not incline towards the wrongdoers, lest the fire should touch you, and you will not have any friends besides Allah, then you will not be helped. By steadfastness, the Almighty stresses negation of inclination towards and relying on wrongdoers, since the least inclination towards them will make one share their fate. As for the nations of Noah, Hud, etc., it was only those who didn't incline towards wrongdoers who were saved. Interestingly, God does not say, "I will burn you if you go the wrongdoer." But he says that the wrongdoer himself is the fire. And in the end he says, "Then you won't be helped." It means that going to the wrongdoer will be of no avail and he will not help you. Allah tells all Muslims and freedom-seeking people not to accept the dominance of their enemies and the enemies of Allah. Enemies always intend to kill, harass, and captivate others and wish them to become faithless. Yet, it is a matter of deep regret that Muslims, willingly or unwillingly, trust in enemies and lose everything, including freedom and independence. Libya is a clear example of betrayal and breaching of covenant by the enemies. The last Libyan leader, Muammar Gaddafi, was put under severe pressure due to pursuing nuclear programs, and numerous sanctions were enforced on the country by the United States and its complicit allies. The United States sometimes even resorted to invasion of the Libyan airspace in a bid to target Gaddafi's resistance. Finally, he delivered the information on the way of accessing nuclear equipment. In fact, Libya implemented all US demands only to see the removal of a few sanctions. But at the same time, the CIA chief and the American envoy to Tel Aviv strongly opposed the removal of UN Security Council sanctions against Libya. Thus, every day, they forged new allegations against the country. In addition, the United States, in complicity with its permanent ally, Britain, forged popular mutiny in Libya to justify the ensuing aerial attack. Britain had been committed to defend Libya in case of any assault by a foreign country. Therefore, Gaddafi lost whatever he had, including his life, in trusting the enemy. The Islamic Republic of Iran has been successful in spreading its spiritual borders from Kashmir in the east to the Mediterranean Sea and deep into the Americas and Australia. In the beginning of formation of the Islamic rule in Iran, the enemy's top concern was to block Iran's way to barbed wire. But today, it has been shaken to its very core with a fear of Iran's high-precision continental ballistic missiles. In 1979, the enemy, that is the United States, was worried about freedom of its spies in Iran, whereas today, when the best American military forces are taken as captive by Iranian soldiers, they start to weep while looking for adult diapers. Once, Iran needed missiles and rockets of other countries, but today, Iranian missiles determine the fate of wars in the region. The Islamic Republic of Iran, inspired and instructed by the Holy Quran and negation of trust in the enemy, has made great strides in science and technology and great breakthroughs in science, such as in peaceful nuclear technology, nanotechnology, aerospace science, physics, astronomy, and many other areas of science.
Stories from the past.
stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome. This is Lantern. And the title of today's story is The Five Loaves. Two travelers sat together on the way of their destination to have a meal. One had five loaves of bread, the other had three. A third traveler was passing by and at the request of the two joined in the meal. The travelers in three equal parts. Each of the travelers ate eight broken pieces of the loaf. At the time of leaving, the third traveler took out eight dirhams and gave to the first two men who had offered him the meal and went away. On receiving the money, the two travelers started quarreling as to who should have how much of the money. The five loaf men demanded five dirhams. The three loaf men insisted on dividing the money in two equal parts. The dispute was brought to Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, the caliph of the time, to be decided. Imam Ali, peace be upon him, requested the three loaf men to accept three dirhams. The three loaf men refused and said that he would take only four dirhams. At this, Imam Ali returned. You can have only one dirham. You have eight loaves between yourselves. Each loaf was broken in three parts. Therefore, you had 24 equal parts. Your three loaves made nine parts, out of which you have eaten eight portions, leaving just one to the third traveler. Your friend had five loaves, which divided into three made 15 pieces. He ate eight pieces and gave seven pieces to the guest. At such, the guest shared one part from your loaves and seven from those of your friend. So you should get one dirham and your friend should receive seven dirhams.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear audience. Welcome to a new episode of Lantern from IRB English Radio. Well, in this program, we try to listen to certain religious stories and then try to talk about them and ponder about some of the important themes and lessons that we can take. And in that way, we would be able to make use of these themes and lessons in our daily lives in order to reach higher status in religion and spirituality, inshallah. Well, today we want to talk about the judgments of Imam Ali alayhi salam and the way that people were astonished by his judgment. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the founder of the majority of the principles of jurisprudence and was the most brilliant Muslim personality in the field of judicature. He could solve the most complicated problems, removed ambiguity, revealed the truth, and did away with all confusions. As a result, scholars of law and judges were the first to be highly admired by the Imam and to derive from the very much information related to judging between the litigants and putting their hands on the truth. During the lifetime of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Imam Ali alayhi salam assumed the office of judicature when he was sent to Yemen. However, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not need to put Imam Ali alayhi salam to the test with regard to his experience in this field because he was sure of that. Rather, he only supplied him with some advices concerning the etiquette of judgment. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "When the two parties of a lawsuit present themselves before you, you should not issue a verdict before you listen to both of them in the same way. If you do so, it will be easy for you to issue a fair judgment." Imam Ali alayhi salam, commenting on this advice, said, "Since then, I could master the job of judgment and I have never suspected any issue." Imam Ali alayhi salam distinguished himself in the field of judgment and issuance a verdict so highly that none could ever match him. Accordingly, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam awarded him such a superb medal that distinguished him from the other companions when he declared, Ali alayhi salam is the most versed in the field of judgment of all of you. Well, history says that Imam Ali alayhi salam was the supreme referential authority in the field of judgment and verdicts during the reigns of the first three caliphs, who never violated his view in any case. More specifically, the second caliph, Umar ibn Khattab, depended totally upon Imam Ali alayhi salam in the issue of jurisprudence and judgment that were provided before him, so much so that he declared more than once that he would have perished if Ali had not been there to save him. Okay, now let's go for a short break and we will be back very soon.
The Lantern.
Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story which indicates a moral aspects of our life.
Welcome back, dear audience. You are listening to Lantern from IRIB English Radio, and we are talking about the judgments of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Well, the issue of Imam Ali alayhi salam in judgment and adjudication revealed the broadness of his knowledge, his unmatched scientific faculties, and his capability to solve the most complicated issues that all judges could not solve. About the significance of the office of judge, Imam Ali alayhi salam said to Shuraih, who was a judge, "O Shuraih, you have seat in a place that none should assume except a prophet, a successor of a prophet, or otherwise a man bringing to himself wretchedness." Well, dear listeners, it seems that our time for this episode of Lantern has come to its end. I really hope that you have enjoyed this episode. And until another one, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
We are fortunate enough to follow infallible and knowledgeable imams, starting by Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib and ending with Imam Muhammad al-Mahdi, ajallallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. So one good point that Shia enjoys is that we are inherited with a bunch of narrations and traditions from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib up until Imam Mahdi. In according to the, you know, time and place situation, they have provided different gifts. So Amirul Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib, when died after his demise, Shi'i scholars tried to combine and collect sayings of Ahlul Bayt. One of the Shi'i scholars, who called Sayyid Radi, collected a part of Alawi sayings. He says that I tried my best, but unfortunately, I couldn't collect all sayings of Ali ibn Abi Talib. It seems that he has collected 1/10 of all Alawi sayings in form of Nahjul Balagha. They are so precious in terms of oral and command of language that Sayyid Radi called Nahjul Balagha, the way of talk, the way of approach. So, Nahjul Balagha is a volume which includes 1/10 of Alawi sayings. And these 1/10, even you come up with ocean of knowledge with regard to belief system, with regard to morality and moral values, with regard to rulings, with regard to the history and lessons that we could take from history, and also with regard to life skills.
That was all for today. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode. Till then,
May Allah bless all of you. Fi amanillah.
ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Happy Iranian New Year. Happy Nowruz. Happy Iranian New Year. Happy Nowruz. Happy Iranian New Year. Happy Nowruz. Happy Iranian New Year. Happy Nowruz.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می‌کند
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
July 12, 1983, Place Hosseinia Jamaran, Tehran. Subject, Spiritual Purification and Focus on Spirituality. The ultimate perfection of human beings has been to know that they are helpless to understand that they are incapable of worshipping Allah. Allah is above guilt that you should glorify Him. You glorify Him. You endorse His infallibility in order to glorify Him. You endorse His infallibility. He glorifies the one that endorses His infallibility. This is how the mandatory prayers are and other worshipping. If it was not for the command of Allah and the need to obey His commands, I must say that the human being with that weak knowledge that he has would not dare to stand in worship of Allah. However, he has given the courage.
We seek refuge from Satan the cursed in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Well, on the subject of the Persian New Year, or what we call as Nowruz, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi said, transformation of hearts and souls must take place during Nowruz, and mankind are recommended to attempt to associate themselves with God the Almighty after disassociating from the material world. The wisdom and rationality must happen in real sense, as they could become capable of distinguishing between truth and corruption. Thank God, our nation has accomplished significant insightful and intellectual growth. I hope they could achieve the peak of insightful during this year Nowruz. Well, this viewpoint of Imam Rahmatullah Alayh is representative of his opinion about Nowruz. Well, Nowruz marks the beginning of new Persian solar year, which coincides with spring each year. The season of spring has been of great significance in Quran, as it presents the spring as an evidence of life and as well as the proof for the day of resurrection.
Allah
the beginning of each year, Imam Rahmatullah Alayh also encouraged people from all walks of life to play a key role in reconstruction and progress of the country. The Islamic Revolution under the wise leadership of Imam revived divine values and genuine Islamic teachings at a sensitive juncture of the history, also changed balance of power in the region and boosted morale of oppressed nations across the globe. Imam Khomeini's role in honoring Nowruz and changing the way Iranian viewed this day has been influential. Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh, also highlighted the dive perspectives of the Nowruz and stressed that the souls must be transformed during the Nowruz and a deep spiritual transformation must take place. Imam rahmatullah alayh stressed the combination of wisdom and rationality in order to gain desired spiritual change during these divine-oriented days. Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh left several pieces of poetry which talk about the deep transformation among mankind during each spring season. According to Imam rahmatullah alayh, civil liberties and freedom in the society were inaccessible unless human gained the spiritual freedoms. Thank you very much for being with us in this episode, and until another one, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alongside Iranians in Nowruz. In the name of God, Salam everybody, welcome to the program. Today is the fourth day of Nowruz holidays. Congratulations on this ancient Iranian feast. As we said yesterday, today we will speak about the customs of Kurds during Nowruz. Kurds are scattered mainly in Kermanshah, Kurdistan, Ilam, and parts of West Azerbaijan and North Khorasan provinces. Stay with us, please. Kurds are one of the old Iranian ethnicities who speak Kurdish language. Kurdish language includes various dialects such as Kurmanji, Sorani, Kalhor, Oromani, Guran, and Lak. The last one is in fact a mixture of Kurdish language and Lori dialect. Nowruz is the greatest feast among Kurds. They wear new clothes and hold various artistic and cultural events to welcome Nowruz. Kurds start Khune Tekuni several days before Nowruz. The most important thing in the villages is to renew walls with plaster as they have been blackened with soot during winter. Then carpets and rugs are beaten outdoors to remove dust. However, if it is sunny, they are washed. Mir Nowruzi or Amir Bahari is a show which Kurds hold before the turn of year. It is held on the last Wednesday of year. People choose one from among themselves as a temporary governor and call him Mir Nowruzi. The governor is the ruler of city or village and runs the affairs during Nowruz. At the end of Nowruz, he gets the title of king. Interestingly, he's not allowed to laugh during his rule. He shouldn't laugh at the sweet stories he himself recounts. If he laughs or even smiles, he will be dismissed by the locals. However, his commands, which are mainly for gladdening people, should be put into action in the best way. The elderly and elite in the city provide him and his near ones with sword, dagger, and whatever he needs. This custom is now held only symbolically and has lost its past prevalence. Kurdish people attach high respect to the deceased. The day before the turn of year, or the last Thursday, they go to the graveyard and recite prayer and Fatiha, that is, chapter, hamd of the Noble Quran, for the spirits of the dead. As it is customary in many regions of Iran, relatives take new clothes for the bereaved family and ask them to change their black garments with the new ones. Moreover, the neighbors of the bereaved family do not make fire of Nowruz in respect for them. It is nice custom among Kurds that they take gifts for the new bride and her family. These gifts and presents are taken by the groom's family. The pack of gifts is called khanche and includes sugar cone, clothes, perfume, mirror, nuts, fruits, pastries, and even food. Kurds also celebrate Nowruz and other happy ceremonies with halpark, which is rhythmic show, performed in circles with others. Halpark music is very beautiful and rhythmic. It reminds of valor and combat. It is performed very harmoniously. Well, dear listeners, unlike other ethnicities, haft-seen tablecloth is not that popular among Kurdish people. They gather together and congratulate Nowruz to each other. Men often pay a visit to the elite and elderly. Kurds, like other Iranians, go to parks, gardens, and mountain feet for picnic on the 13th day of Nowruz, Sistebedar, to end their holidays with nature and take new energy from it for the rest of the year. They make preparations the day before and early in the morning of the 13th day. Leave for picnic. It is customary to perform halpark on this day too. As for the food on the day of nature, a variety of foods are prepared on the day. But in the city of Sanandaj, a kind of kebab is very popular. Some families also make kalana. Kalana is famous as Kurdish pizza and dates back to some 3,000 years to be the first fast food in the world. Others prepare dolme berg or stuffed grape leaves. There are other customs too in Kurdish inhabiting regions in Iran. For instance, in Divandare, families drop out every old thing to ward off bad luck. In some villages, sheep or goats are slaughtered.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
answering a dozen questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman? Allah, who is Al-Mannan?
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page, where welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have a very special guest speaker from the Islamic House of Qom and Islamic scholar, Sheikh Rouhani. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All right, Sheikh Rouhani, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the concept of Akhar al-Zaman, or end time or end of time. According to Shiite beliefs, when we are getting close to the reappearance of Imam As, we are passing life in end of the time. First of all, this Akhar al-Zaman, is it an authentic concept or not? And what are the main features of this Akhar al-Zaman?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, of course, it is for sure that the world's life one day ends. And it cannot continue forever, because even according to the scientific pieces of evidence, all the world is full of energy that is being expended. So since this energy is using in this universe, one day this energy will finish. So that's why everything will stop. This is according to the scientific kind of studies, but according to the religious sort of ideas and theological ideas, particularly from the Islamic perspective, yes, there is the end of this world, and Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put an end to the life of this world, and then the Surah Israfil starts, and yes, then everything finishes. And then Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will return back the mankind and the creatures in Qiyamah. So the life of this world is, of course, limited. And we have the end of the time, Akhir al-Zaman, that is for sure, yes, according to the Islamic teachings and doctrines.
Okay. And is this concept, I mean, the end of time, only limited to Islam? Or no religions before Islam?
Of course, there are many other religions, many other civilizations who believed in such a thing, that one day everything will finish and the last savior will come. And this concept of last savior is mentioned in lots of religion, like Zoroastrianism, like Judaism, Christianity, and also even Buddhism and Hinduism. They also have a kind of believing in a kind of last savior, of course. The characteristics might be different from these religions, but the one who will come to at the end of this world and fill the world with justice and peace, and safeguard the man against the evils, yeah, that will reappear according to all the religions. It's not only specific or specified to Islam and Muslims.
That's all right. So now the major question is that this Akhir al-Zaman, or the end of time, are there any similarities between this and Qiyamah? I mean, the resurrection day? Is it before resurrection?
Yes.
Or we can say coincident with the resurrection? What are the difference between the two?
You know what we can say about the hereafter life, about the day of judgment, about the scenes, and let's say that what we can say, the characteristics of the hereafter life, we cannot say anything except those things that are mentioned in ayat and the authentic riwayat, you know. But what can clearly be understood from all these riwayat and ayat is that the hereafter life is totally a different life, you know. The day of Qiyamah, the resurrection, is not something like this earthly life and this worldly kind of these worldly kind of characteristics. It is totally different because, first of all, we will not be like limited in these sort of bodies that we have in this world. There's no such physical kind of limitations, physical bodies, physical resurrections completely. And we do not have these, for example, galaxies,